duet here just a little while ago, and it's great to have the Curry family all together here today. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 6, Galatians chapter number 6. Again, it's good to have you here this morning here on this final Sunday of 2021. Galatians chapter 6, and our verses this morning begin with verse number 14, where the scripture says this, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to the rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." This morning I want to preach a message simply entitled Scars. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd even help me as I try and just convey here what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that each and every one of us, that we would appreciate the scars that, Lord, each and every one of us may bear, but more importantly, the scars of our Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go out swimming in the little pond in the backyard. And he didn't have a care in the world, as he just simply exited the back door of the house, and he ran, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, off came his shirt, and off came his shoes and his socks, and before you knew it, he all of a sudden had plunged himself into this little pond. But unknowingly, he was plunging himself into a place where on the other side of the pond there was an alligator. And as it happened, as he jumped into the water to swim to the middle, the gator began his trek to go toward the boy. The mother, who was at the kitchen window, spotted this thing, and something kicked in. We call it adrenaline. As in an instant, this mother all of a sudden had darted out the door, and as she ran screaming at the top of her lungs to her little boy, turn back," and the little boy, hearing his mother, decided to obey wisely. And he began to struggle as best he could to the shore. But as he made his way to the shore, the alligator met him. And so began a struggle as he grabbed a hold of the little boy's leg. But by that time there, the mother had made her way down to the water. And she grabbed a hold of that little boy's arm. And there was this tug of war going back and forth. As fate would have it, there was a farmer that had seen the whole thing had happened by, and he quickly got out of his pickup truck, got the shotgun out of the back, and went down to the water and shot and killed the gator. The little boy was safe, but badly injured. He had to go to the hospital. And it was in the hospital that this little boy was recovering. And the newspaper reporters, just interested in the story, came to interview the boy. And one newspaper reporter said, "Hey, son, can I see your scars?" Obviously, the legs had been badly injured. And the little boy was sure okay with that. He lifted up his pant leg and he showed the jagged edges of where the teeth of the gator had sunk in. But he said, "You want to see my other scars?" And the man said, "What are you talking about?" And he lifted just simply his arm as all of a sudden he revealed where his mother's fingernails had clamped down. And as they had dug in, and said the little boy, and I quote, he said, "I have scars because mama wouldn't let go." Love is an amazing thing, isn't it? Especially when it is the heart of one who loves so much like mama. You know, scars, most everybody here has them. Whether it be from a surgery or an accident, scars become a part of who we are. Scars tell a story. We all have scars. For instance, I'll tell you a story about a scar that I have. You may not see it very clearly, but I sometimes will notice in the mirror, and I'll look in the mirror, and I'll notice just right here to the right of my right eye, I will notice a scar. It's an up and down scar. And I'll tell you, that is my piano lesson scar. You say, "Your piano lesson scar?" Yes, I got hurt in piano lessons. Now, not, by the way that you think. But back when I was young, my two sisters and I, my mom and dad, wanted to make sure that we learned a little bit of piano. And so as it happened, there was a lady in our church by the name of Mrs. Goff. Now, Mrs. Goff lived two doors down from the church. And she taught piano. She was part of our church. And so it was that the three of us one day, we took turns. And so Cheryl and Brenda and I, we were both there, all three of us there. And Cheryl and I had already finished our lesson. And so it was Brenda's turn. And while Brenda was taking her piano lesson, Cheryl and I, we were getting in trouble. And as it happened, I can't remember how it started, but all of a sudden I can remember I began chasing my sister. And while I was chasing her in Mrs. Goff's house, I slipped and my head hit the corner of a bench. And I got a big old scar. And I learned an awful lot from Mrs. Goff from piano. But one of the things I learned is don't mess around in between your lesson. That's what I learned that day. Now, we find that Paul here mentions something about scars, and scars certainly that he had. That here in Galatians, Paul is actually writing to a group of churches, several churches, that he had the privilege of starting on his first missionary journey. And as he had started those churches some years later, he was disturbed to learn that they were departing from the foundation that he had established, that they were departing from the gospel, and specifically the gospel of you're only saved by grace through faith and nothing added. There were some people who had slipped in. Some people were trying to add to salvation and add works such as circumcision, a gospel that included not just simply grace through faith, but now you had to do some things. And throughout this letter, Paul is writing, just pleading with them and saying, now listen, let's get back to the gospel. Let's not lose sight of what the gospel is. And you can be saved. Saved simply by believing in the finished work of Christ. And so he gets to the heart of the matter. Notice that he says, but God forbid, verse number 16, that I should glory, that is, boast or brag, in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells about his scars in verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me. In other words, don't bother me anymore. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now that's an interesting word to me. In the Greek language, words are very meaningful. This happens to be a word that we get another English word from. It is the Greek word stigmata. We get stigma from it. Normally, stigma is a negative mark. It's a negative connotation. And stigmata in Paul's day was a word that was used in three expressive ways. First of all, it was always used whenever there was a runaway slave. When that slave returned, they would literally mark their forehead and mark that slave in such a way that he could never run away without knowing whose master he belonged to. In addition, that was a mark that was sometimes used with soldiers. Soldiers that had a famous leader, a commander, that they would oftentimes, out of pride, out of loyalty, that they would mark themselves and say, I belong to this great warrior. In addition, it was a mark, this stigmata was used with devotees of a pagan goddess. And we know, of course, in Paul's day, that Diana worship, the worship of Artemis, that was something that went on, and many people were caught up in this. And so they would tattoo literally the name of Diana into their forehead. Now, this stigmata or scar was more than a fashion. It basically said, I belong to somebody. Somebody owns me. Somebody has me. And so it was a scar, a stigmata. Paul, though, had real scars. And we know the Apostle Paul, he many times documented, as the book of Acts even tells us the stories of Paul, as Paul was persecuted. There was a time when Paul was stoned and he had the marks from the stoning. There were times that Paul was arrested, put in prison, and literally his back was whipped and whipped to a bloody pulse. And we know his hands, his feet, every part of his body probably bore some type of a scar. I want you to know this morning that with Paul, his scars were a sign that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because my Jesus had scars. Jesus Christ had scars. And Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed to have scars because Jesus had scars. And Jesus was not ashamed of his scars. You might even recall that in the upper room, the apostles, the disciples had met, and there was one that had not been there from the very beginning of the resurrection. That was Thomas. And Thomas said, listen, I will not believe unless I see the scars, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, except I'll put my finger in the print of the nails, except I shall thrust my hand through a sign. I will not believe, John 20:25. And so what did Jesus do? The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared and he showed them his hands. He said, go ahead, Thomas, you can go ahead and reach in. You can touch the scars. You can touch my side. You can see the hole in my side. Now, he chose to keep his scars. Have you ever thought about this? You know, that seems very strange to me. After all, Jesus was a man. He was one who healed others of their diseases. He healed others of their problems. But Jesus did not choose to heal himself. He did not choose to remove his scars. You know, scars are a defect. Models do not model scars. They will not show them off. Jesus meant to make sure that he was seen with his scars. You know, healing is an amazing feature of the Creator. God gave us the ability to heal. I don't know if you've ever studied this, but those who study medicine will tell you that it's one of the most amazing things. The way that the body heals itself. From the very beginning, when we get wounded, when we get some kind of a cut, a bruise, that all of a sudden that we will have platelets that will adhere and all of a sudden will group up together and basically block from blood being flowing to a region in order to make sure that healing can take place. Then the spot will inflame, and that is basically meant to simply keep us from getting infection and to keep any infection from getting in and making us even more and more sick. In addition, we'll find the tissue will be replaced. The wound will contract. And finally, there will be some kind of scar that will form, a bond that basically mirrors as best as possible what was. The human body, when left to itself, is an amazing thing. Scars are God's way of saying, I can heal. I can heal. You know, you think about scars that you and I have. I mentioned the scar that I have in my eye. There's another scar I've got on my leg. It reminds me another time I was messing around when I was a little boy. And I had a splinter go through my left leg. And that scar, many times when I have my pant leg up, I will see that scar. It will remind me of a past time that I made a mistake or a time that I sinned. You and I need to realize scars are very meaningful. We try and hide our scars, but Paul, like Jesus, bore his. He became proud of his scars. They became almost like medals, like a military warrior, like somebody who has succeeded might bear and show the Purple Heart or maybe the Medal of Honor, a Medal of Courage, a Distinguished Service Medal. I'm here to tell you this morning that everybody here has scars. You know, there are scars that we see, and then there are scars we don't. You know, sometimes the hardest scars to deal with are the scars from within. The scars that are in the heart, invisible to everyone except you. What do our scars teach us? You know, as I thought about scars, I thought in a very meaningful way that scars teach us three lessons. That's what I want to share with you this morning. Because as Paul thought about scars and said, listen, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do our scars teach us? I want to share with you, first of all, that our scars signify that we were once in a battle. If you don't have scars, it means you didn't fight. If you don't have scars, it means you didn't play. I wonder how many of us, you know, you played a game, maybe you played sports, maybe in high school, maybe in college. I guarantee you, if you played hard, unless you were like the little kid that stands in the corner during dodgeball. You remember that kid? This is a kid that was always hiding behind somebody or something. The one that was always off to the side, never out there, never taking a chance. And I'm happy to tell you that when I was growing up, I was the kind of kid who always came home with a dirty uniform. In fact, when I was in high school, literally they created an award when I was in high school. They had their yearly awards and they had, you know, most valuable this, most valuable that. But they made up an award one year and they said, you know what, we're going to give Dave Clear. And they called this award the Mud and Grass Stain Award. Now, I can tell you the reason I got that award was not because I had a clean uniform. It was just the opposite. How did I get dirty? How did I get it muddy? How did I get it full of grass? Because I played. I was in the game. I was in the battle. I was in the challenge. I was in the competition. And listen, I'm here to tell you that if you have scars and even internal scars, it means that you were playing the game, that you were in a battle. Thank God for that. Yeah, I would tell you, by the way, that that's one of the things. I do not want to have a clean, uniform church. Sometimes our church has messes. Sometimes our church has problems. Sometimes we have wounds. Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes, unfortunately, accidentally, we hurt each other. We step on each other's toes. But, you know, we can fix that. We can apologize. We can get some things right. I'm glad that we live a Christian existence here at First Baptist Church, but scars signify that we were in the battle. And thank God for that this morning. But secondly, I thought about this. Our scars remind us of what our Savior did for us. While my scars are in a different location than Jesus' scars, I'm reminded that from head to toe, Jesus had them. He had scars over all of his body. The wounds would have covered him from head to toe, starting with his head. And we know, of course, the Bible tells us that they pressed a crown of thorns into his skull. And I don't think, by the way, that those were just simply minuscule thorns. I believe those were thick. I believe they were hard. I believe they would have crushed past the skin into the skull. And as they pressed that in, Jesus had wounded his head. But it didn't stop there. We know his precious face, that the Bible tells us that he had a beard. They plucked at his beard. They beat his face. Remember, they even hit him in the face and said, "Who hit thee?" And, you know, prophesy. You're a prophet. Tell us that they beat him. He was wounded, the Bible says. He was bruised. Then we think about the rest of his body. We think about his precious hands. You know, as I think about hands and just, you know, the preciousness, you know, fingers and the preciousness of toes, sometimes we'll look at a little baby and we'll say, "Oh, look at those cute little fingers, little toes." Sometimes I think, yeah, and Jesus one time had little baby fingers and little baby toes, but he grew up and all of a sudden they plunge nails into those hands. They plunge great big old spikes into his feet. And then you think about his back. As the Bible tells us that they whipped him, and they whipped him with that cat of nine tails, that jagged pieces of metal, bone and flesh was literally ripped from his side, from his back, as Jesus had scars on every part of his body. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52 that his visage was so marred, more than any other man, his form than the sons of men. In Isaiah 53, the Bible records for us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Really, his scars show the price that Jesus paid in order to save us, to heal us. That verse in Isaiah 53, verse 5, ends with saying this, "And with his stripes we are healed." That is good news. That's really what Christmas is all about. Now, I know we get all enamored with babies, and Jesus certainly came and was born as a babe in the manger, but Jesus came to die. He came to suffer. He came to struggle. He came to pay the ultimate price for our sins. That's why Paul, even when thinking about the scars of Jesus, he could not help but say these words. He said, "I will glory in the cross." In the cross. One last point. Because scars not only signify that we've been in a battle, they not only remind us of our Savior, but third and finally, our scars reveal a wound that has been healed. You know, Jesus makes all the difference. And that's why Jesus didn't come to just simply have a wound stay a wound. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Well, what does the Bible say? When Jesus began his ministry, he said, "Turn to Isaiah 61. And he preached his first message from Isaiah 61, which says this, that I am come that I might bind up, heal the brokenhearted. My scars tell a story of healing. Now, I will tell you, by the way, as a pastor, that many times I encounter people who just simply refuse to be healed. They refuse to let the wounds heal. That they pick at the scabs and that they just simply don't want to have anything but infection and just putrefying gangrene set in. into their hearts, and that they choose not to be healed. But Jesus wants you to be healed even on the inside. My Bible says this in Proverbs 18:14, that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I close by reminding you the story of one famous Louis Zamperini. You know the story, the inspiration behind the book and the film Unbroken. As Louis Zamperini was especially just an athletic, strong young man, in 1934 he set the national high school record for the mile. 2 years later he was running in the Olympics in Berlin, Germany. But then he found himself in the middle of World War II, a bombardier in the Pacific. In May of 1943, his plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean. Incredibly, he survived that. He was rescued at sea, but he was rescued by the Japanese. And that is when, for 2 years, he suffered an incredible, torturous capture. As he was a prisoner in the concentration camps, he was tortured beyond belief. Many times he was made to just simply work and work at the cost of his health. On the brink of starvation, on the brink of just simply being broken, he chose not to be broken. After two torturous years, he was released and came back home. But something inside of him was a wound. An unforgiveness had settled in. And he had become so enamored that he began to even imagine here getting revenge and getting even with his captors. He turned to alcohol. He became an alcoholic. He soon became unbearable even for his wife. Their marriage was literally on the rocks. And that is when he went to a Billy Graham crusade. Back in 1949, when Billy Graham was just getting started, he went to Los Angeles, and it was actually Louis Zamperini's wife that first attended a meeting. And she said, "Louis, you got to come back, and you got to come to this service." And the first service that Louis Zamperini went to, he got mad. And he vowed, "I'm never going back." But he did, and it was on the second night that he broke. It was on the second night that he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ became his Savior, Jesus became his Master, his Lord, and it was through Jesus Christ that Louis Zamperini learned how to forgive because he had been forgiven. It literally changed. He went home and he took all of the alcohol that he had and he poured it down the drain. He decided he was going to start going to church. He all of a sudden started dressing up. All of a sudden started taking care of himself. The dreams that he had been dreaming, revenge, all of a sudden went away. And it wasn't long before that Louis Zamperini had a love in his heart and a desire to go back to show forgiveness to those who had beaten him. In the months following, Zamperini even traveled to Japan, speaking to every guard who had mistreated him, even offering the one that he had despised the most, a man by the name of the Bird, the nickname the Bird. He said, "I want to forgive him too." How could he do that? Jesus Christ. How can somebody change like that? It's only when you meet Jesus Christ and when you accept not only salvation that is promised in the future, but also that forgiveness that is promised now, that all of a sudden you can heal. You see, I think about that little boy that was going to live with scars the rest of his life. And as the reporter came and said, "Son, listen, show me that scar from that gator. Show me that scar where that alligator dug in and just simply wasn't going to let go." And he said, "Yeah, I'll show you that scar, but listen, the one I'm really proud of." And he rolled up his sleeve. He said, "This is the one where Mama wouldn't let go. Where Mama wouldn't let go." You know, listen, when you understand that God is giving us a love that will not let us go, you can forgive anybody. Who is it this morning that you haven't forgiven? What wrong is there that you're still hanging on to? You see, love is an amazing thing. And God has given us the ability to heal if we will let healing take place. Paul said, "I've got scars." What does that mean? That meant that Paul had been in a battle. That meant that he was just like a Savior. But that also meant that healing had taken place. Because every place you got a scar is a reminder of forgiveness. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. scars, we all have them this morning. I've got my scars and you've got yours. I've got my stories and you have yours. But what our scars remind us of is that one time we had a wound. We were in a battle. We had worked, maybe even had an accident. It might have been that we were in a competition. There was something that happened that all of a sudden a wound had taken place. You only have scars because you were in the fight, because you had fought a battle. But your scars also remind you of the Lord Jesus. Our Savior had scars. And our Savior chose to keep His scars visible. He chose to show us why. Maybe to even encourage us. You're not the only person with scar. Jesus had scars, but what do our scars teach us? They teach us that healing has taken place. Has God healed you this morning? First of all, I ask you if you know Christ as Savior, because all that matters is that. Do you know Him as Savior? As Louis Zamperini faced the plagues of dreams that just simply haunted his memory as he thought about it, what he really needed first was to meet Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if you know Him as your Savior, have you allowed forgiveness to take place? Or maybe there's something going on in your heart. As Valerie just begins to play, think about all of the times that maybe you struggled, and all of the times somebody wronged you, somebody hurt you, just like Louis Zamperini could say, yeah, those people hurt me many years ago. Why not forgive? Why not let healing take place? Why not, as we come to the end of 2021, why continue on into another year with an unforgiven heart? Why continue on? That's sort of like somebody that just won't let the wound become a scar. They just keep picking at it. They keep opening it up, cause the bleeding to just ensue once again. That they infect it. They make it worse and worse and worse. Why not just simply heal? You can do that if you turn it over to the Lord. You can do that if you'll let His healing accomplish its perfect work. This morning, scars, what do your scars teach you? Let's all stand, and as she continues to play, maybe you need to come this morning, because I've got scars, you've got scars. Have you forgiven? Have you let go? Have you relinquished? Have you just simply said, listen, my Jesus forgave? The reason Jesus could have scars is because first thing He said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can't be forgiven unless you allow forgiveness to take place. Jesus did that on the cross. He offered forgiveness for all. Jesus had scars. You and I have scars as well, where one time maybe a friend wounded us, might have been a